Well, good morning. It's lovely to be with you. I am somewhat in fear and trepidation this morning because, as Harvey said, this isn't the talk that I was supposed to be given. The talk that I was supposed to be given has been in the diary for quite some time, and there's a framework for it, and then as I tried to put it together, it just didn't. Nothing came together. Nothing worked. Didn't matter what I did, it was just... And I thought, well, maybe I've got something wrong somewhere. And it was an off-the-cuff conversation with Tracy. And she just sort of said, well, are you sure you're doing the right talk? Don't you just love those sort of conversations? But she was right. And I felt God really prompting me to talk on this subject. I don't know whether you've noticed, but generally... If you've got eyes around the nation on what's going on in the church, there is more and more of a move of the Holy Spirit. Even in our own church, you'll have noticed in recent weeks, there's been a little bit more of the prophetic, a little bit more in terms of people maybe singing out in tongues or speaking out in tongues in interpretation. This is all part of what God is doing. So I felt I ought to tackle this subject. Now, a lot of people think that these gifts... they're from God. They're really, really precious. So what do you do with something unique and precious? You put it on a shelf or a mantelpiece and you look admiringly at it. But that's not what God says. God's gifts are like this toolbox. They are... tools to be used, and God uses his tools his way. And there are lots of different ones. So, for example, if I have got a screw that needs going into a piece of wood, I don't use this, despite what I've seen some people do. And if I've got a flat head screw, that's one with a slot on it, I don't use a screwdriver with a cross on it. I've got all sorts of things. We did this, a bit of this with the youth on Friday, and I loved their ingenuity. But you see, there are even different sorts of saws for different sorts of carpentry. This is a tenon saw, and you'd use this very precisely for joints and... sorry? I'll leave that. So what you need to understand is that what we're talking about is God's toolbox and how he wants to work with us. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I'm going to be spending a bit of time in the Bible, so if you want to follow along, these they will all appear on screen. But 1 Corinthians 14 from the Amplified Bible says, pursue this love. We're back to where Tracy was a couple of minutes ago. Everything God does is going to reveal his love. Pursue this love with eagerness. Make it your goal. Yet earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual gifts. Cultivate and desire. Long for, work behind the scenes, practice. If you want to cultivate something, you've got to put some energy and effort in. They are to be used by the believers for the benefit of the church. This is how God is going to build his church. Then it says, but especially that you may prophesy, to foretell the future, to speak a new message from God to the people. So where do we look if we want to understand what the spiritual gifts are, what the tools in God's toolboxes are? We go to 1 Corinthians and chapter 12. So two chapters before the verse we've just read. and it says this. Now then, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. There are different kinds of gifts. There are different tools in the toolbox. But the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. It's for all of us. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. And I want to pick up on just a couple of things in that passage. Firstly, in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. We're talking about God's love for his church, the way he interacts with us. And then it says, to each one. This isn't something that is reserved for people who have been to Bible school. It's not reserved to people who have been Christians more than 10 years ago. This is to everyone. The manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And then later it says, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Now, if you are, actually, I would just want to jump back last week if you were here. There were a couple of words, if you remember, about gifts and how God wanted to give out his gifts, but that we had to open the gifts. We have to use them. We have to unwrap what God has given to us. The youth were rather surprised that I thought it was great that I got tools for Christmas presents. But that's what God does. He gives us tools as presents, and he distributes them just as he determines. So if you are, I'm going to pick on Tracy because I know I can, if you are Tracy and you go running and you see stuff and God speaks to it through it and you go, but that's not me, do you know that's absolutely fine? Because God will speak to you maybe in another way. And it might be you see pictures in your head. It might be dreams. But God will give to different ones different things, perhaps. We don't all have to be the same. So I'm going to look very briefly, and you're going to do the work. What are these tools in the toolbox? What are the gifts that God gives us? The first is the gift of wisdom. Anyone like to have a guess? What does that even mean? That will come later. Yeah. But anyone think, okay, think of examples. Where do you see wisdom being used in the Bible? Solomon. An example? The baby. Two ladies, two babies, one dies, the other one nicks the baby, and Solomon says, tell you what we'll do, let's cut the baby in half, and that way we will have half each and no problem. And the mother says, no, don't do that. And she says, that's the real mother. You see, wisdom is that being able, the gift of being able to see what to do in different situations with the wisdom of God. There are plenty of other examples for Joseph or Daniel, Jesus. In fact, for all of these, just slot in the word Jesus and you're pretty much there. What about this one? How would we see the gift of knowledge being used? Any ideas? I love that description. Thank you. Someone that knows something they shouldn't know in an earthly way. I had the gift to comprehensively understand a spiritual issue or have a situation revealed to you. We might see this in the church as like what we might call a word of knowledge, where you have an understanding of maybe someone being poorly or a situation at someone's work, and you've got no idea how that could be, but God reveals it to you. And I have to say, this works in different ways. If I'm in a meeting and suddenly my right knee is killing me with pain, I say, God, is that you, or have I got a really bad right knee? And sometimes it will be, that's how God has revealed to me that there's someone here with a really bad right knee. I remember being in Ukraine. This is, for me, probably the most scary, but knowing I was in the will of God. I was in Ukraine and in a church, obviously didn't speak the language, and Steve Thomas, bless him, at the end of his talk, said, and now Martin's going to give us three words of knowledge. He hadn't asked me beforehand. And as I stood up, I thought, you know, you pray that instant prayer, God, help. But I had this image flash into my mind of a Russian lady, a small, older Russian lady with all her headscarves and she was carrying a small child. And I looked around and I couldn't see that lady anywhere, so I thought, I'll just be obedient. And as I said it, two of the ladies at the back rushed out and then brought in the very lady I'd seen in my head carrying the small child. And the reason she wasn't there was the child was so sick and we were able to pray. God reveals something supernaturally. By the way, in all of these and all of the tools I'm talking about, it's possible that we get it wrong as well. Don't think you've got to be perfect Christian. Sometimes we get it wrong. But God says, in the words of Bob Mumford, have a mistake on me. He would rather you tried to use the tools than you left them in their wrappers. Every time. So, we have the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge. Then this one, what do you think? What does the gift of faith look like? Any ideas? You're all gone really quiet. Any ideas? What does a gift of faith look like? Absolutely. So, the gift to trust God and inspire others to trust God, no matter the conditions. I don't know whether you remember, a few weeks back we had Roger Cole here. Roger Cole has got a gift of faith. He sits down and doesn't matter what's in front of him, he believes that the God he knows personally is bigger than whatever those situations are. And he sees healings time after time after time. And because other people see he's got the faith, it grows their faith. I think the gift of faith is something we sometimes downplay, but it's very powerful. It's part of God's toolbox. Come on. Sorry? Well, I hope so, but the gift of healing, when we see God's power used to supernaturally heal something, and that doesn't just have to be physical, it could be emotional, it could be spiritual. God longs to use his toolbox. Okay, one. Anyone like to have a guess? How many have seen this at work? If I start to show your hands, how many people have seen a miracle? Okay. I'll tell you what, every time I look at a newborn baby, I think that's a miracle. Sorry, don't have to stand up, Rosie. But every time we see that all of those, out of one sperm and one egg, a new life has been created. Because God knits together God's framework, God's design, God's plan comes together. But then there'll be other miracles. You might see legs straighten. I was talking to someone who had seen someone raised from the dead. And it wasn't that this person had been having a slight sleep. They'd been at a big conference in Africa, and the person had been dead several days, and they bought them because someone knew that this person could, and they bought this person, and they were raised to life. That would start your prayer life again, wouldn't it? God longs to see his toolbox used. And sometimes we discount the gift of miracles. It's the gift to display signs and miracles that reveal God's word and God's message. God wants his message of hope and of life to travel out. It's not designed to be confined within the walls of the church. Maybe we're slightly more familiar with this one and therefore we're more comfortable. But what about this one? What does this mean? It's the gift to declare a message from God. Now, we did this with our young people a few Fridays ago. And so I've got to say they were slightly more responsive than you are. But this was what was produced on the flip chart as we discussed prophecy. What's it mean? What's it look like? And it could be a word or a revelation, or it could be an encouragement or a testimony or a word of knowledge, a testimony of what God does, pictures. God gives us pictures. Or maybe it just God highlights particular Bible verses. It could be that you're going along and you see this and you think, do you know God's speaking to me? And he's saying, I want you to get things absolutely straight. I want things to line up properly. They shouldn't be crooked. They should be true. It might be that someone gets a message about what's going to happen and it's foretold. God wants to strengthen his people. Sometimes the prophetic comes to comfort his people. We should earnestly desire, it says. And it highlights prophecy because we can all be bringers of God's message of hope. Now we come to your one, Mark, the gift of discernment. So what do we think this looks like, the gift of discernment? Any ideas? Saying what's not from God as much as what is. Yes, it's I've got the gift to recognize whether something is from God or not. Sometimes we have different thoughts rattling around in our head, don't we? Or we're in a situation where we go, wait, is that really God? Will God do that? And the gift of discernment allows us to tell what's from God and what's not. Particularly in matters of the spiritual realm. So if that's the gift of discernment, then we come to this one, being demonstrated by many in this church recently. Anyone want to tell me what the gift of tongues is? A supernatural language from heaven, spot on. The gift to communicate in a foreign or an angelic language you do not have experience with, or you haven't experienced before, perhaps. I want to just, at this point, just cut back to what that 1 Corinthians 14 says. It says, follow the ways of love, and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I'd rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified. Then jumping ahead to verses 26 and 27. What then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has got a hymn or a word or instruction, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. And if anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at most three should speak one at a time, and someone must interpret. Now, I want to draw a slight distinction here, because I think the gift of tongues is one of the most powerful aids, one of the most powerful things in the toolbox that God gives us to assist us in our personal walk with Him, in our personal prayer life, in our personal worship life. There's something that supersedes our brains and allows us to converse with God in a heavenly language, and it does something powerful in our private devotions. But then there are tongues that are used in the public setting. And it's really clear here that's not wrong, it's great, but you need another of the toolbox if that's going to happen. And that one is the gifts of interpretation. Now that is the gift of interpreting yours or another's heavenly language and helping others to understand. And again, I just want to help you. We're not talking about a literal translation. Very rarely is it a literal translation. But it's that sense of this is the gist of what's going on. Someone might sing out a tongue, but the interpretation might be spoken out. And the interpretation might be a little bit here. It might be Jeff gives the interpretation, but then Jason adds a bit to it. And then Elizabeth adds a bit, because the interpretation is the whole thing. And what is it for? For the building up of the whole church. And more people get to use tools from the toolbox. Tongues is incredibly powerful. Again, in this setting, in the setting of communal worship, tongues releases something in the spiritual being atmosphere that I don't know any other thing that does. And then there are rare occasions. Only once has this happened to me. And I was at a conference somewhere, and we were all encouraged to go along and pray, and this couple was stood in front of me, and I didn't know what to do. So I said, if it's all right, I'm just going to pray in tongues. They were happy with that. And I prayed out, and I prayed out. And at the end, thank you, they said, thank you very much. We didn't know you spoke Spanish. That's our native language. Oh, right, okay, thank you. I'm glad I didn't know beforehand. Sometimes God supernaturally uses us in that way. But I would encourage you, if you don't already, ask for the gift of tongues. It will change your worship life. So then, here are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, the gift of prophecy, the gift of discernment, the gift of tongues, and the gift of interpretation. And you might say, and I can understand perhaps why. You say, but why do I need this? I've got things pretty much sorted. I know my Bible a bit. I can pray out. Why do I need this? Well, I'd like to give you an illustration. If I want to eat something, this is a pretty good tool. It's very helpful. But so if I say to God, God, I need a fork as a tool, and He gives me this, I might be happy. But God says, hold my beer. Because we need the right tool for the job. If I'm going to be doing the gardening, that's pretty useless. God wants to supersize your relationship with Him, because He wants the very best for you. We come back to Tracy's word about love. See, all of this points to a God who loves us. I'm going to skip the next slide because I feel God's told me to do that. If we go on from that passage we were reading of 1:12, right at the beginning, that talks about the gifts, what it then does is it goes straight into a passage that talks about us not being an eye or not being an ear. If the whole body were an ear, how would we see? And it displays the body in another way. So it's got the gifts of the Holy Spirit straight into this description of the body. And it ends up with this verse, or these verses from the end of 1 Corinthians 12. It says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, and then miracles, then gifts of healing, of help, of guidance, of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gift of tongues? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret?" Now, eagerly desire the greater gifts. Eagerly desire. And so we jump straight from that. So we've got the outline of all the gifts and what they are, to the fact that we are a body and every part is needed. And then it goes straight in to one of the most famous passages on love you've ever read. Probably read at 95% of all weddings, where it talks about love is patient, kind, endures all things, and so on. Why does God put this through Paul's letters in such a way? It's because God's toolbox drives us to God's love. It's not because he just wants to play games, but when we see a fresh release of his Holy Spirit, we also find a fresh release of his love. Now, in a minute, I'm going to trust you. We're going to do another exercise. But before we get there, this was a prayer from yesterday's lectio. I'm going to read it to you, and then I wonder if we might pray it out together. Holy Spirit, as uncomfortable as it is to pray this today, I ask you to give me whatever gift you want to give me. And I yield myself to whatever plan you have for using it. And wherever I am, whomever I am near, I give you permission to work through me. You can see why it's a dangerous prayer, can't you? Because God has a habit of answering prayers like this. And then when we are with people who may be not in this room, we get an opportunity to pick up the right tool in the right place. It might be wisdom. It might be knowledge. But God will let us use the tools he's given us. So let's pray this together. Holy Spirit, as uncomfortable as it is to pray this, today, I ask you to give me whatever gift you want to give me. And I yield myself to whatever plan you have for using it. Wherever I am, whoever I am near, I give you permission to work through me. Amen. Second Timothy 1:6 says, "This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gifts God gave you when I laid my hands on you." This is why we want to fan into flames the spiritual gifts. Because as we fan into flames the spiritual gifts, we see God's love revealed. And how do I want to do this next bit? As part of our worship, I've got some Lego here. I want you to come and lay 1, 2, 3, maybe a dozen bricks, whatever. But you see, God is about building his house. And we understand that it's only when all of us get involved, it's only when all of his toolbox gets used, it's only when all of it comes into play that his house is truly established. So as we worship, as we come to an end of this talk bit, and you're, I'd like you all to come, choose your bits of Lego, what maybe reflect you, you've maybe already got a colour in mind, and together, let's build the house of God, metaphorically, in order that we can see the house of God built physically. Amen. Thank you.